DiscerningHearts.com presents Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Matthew Bunsen, who is a senior correspondent for Our Sunday Visitor and a senior fellow at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. He is the author or co-author of over 45 books, including the Pope Encyclopedia, the Encyclopedia of Catholic History, the Encyclopedia of Saints, John Paul II's Book of Saints, Papal Wisdom, and The Angelic Doctor, The Life and World of St. Thomas Aquinas. He's also the editor of the Catholic Answer magazine. With Dr. Matthew Bunsen, we go inside the pages of Pope Francis, published by Our Sunday Visitor. Matthew, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, it's wonderful, as always, to be with you, Chris.
You have had an incredibly eventful 2 months, 3 months?
Yeah, about 2 months, really, from February 11th, 2013. It has been a remarkable ride. It's also been a very profound spiritual adventure, too. And for the record, as a few people who listen to your show know, I was actually informed of the news of Pope Benedict's resignation announcement by Bruce, the magnificent Bruce McGregor, who called me at 6:05 a.m. on February 11th and actually woke me up with the news. So I was very grateful. Surprised, however.
Surprised, I would say it was more like a spiritual earthquake for many people, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Although in looking back, as you and I have talked, I know, in hindsight, it's possible to see why he did this. And we understand the beauty of the selflessness of his act and also the immense prudence of the act. So over the last few years, there were certainly signs pointing toward his resignation, and he made the decision in the end that the time had come. So we certainly were unhappy about losing such a magnificent Holy Father, but we certainly understood why he did it.
And of course, we're talking about Pope Emeritus now, Benedict XVI, who reports are starting to come out, Matthew, that beautiful, wonderful man, at least the reports seem to be that his health is failing, and at kind of an alarming rate.
Yeah, and in a way you could see that just a few weeks ago when Pope Francis paid a visit to the Pope Emeritus at Castel Gandolfo. The two had this, what is really an unprecedented meeting between the current Pope and then the previous Pope, but never in the history of the Church, I don't think, had there ever been any sort of image quite like the one that we had. But it was alarming to see the level of decline on the part of Pope Benedict, to the point that you had the very poignant moment in the chapel of Castel Gandolfo when he reached out his hand to get support from Pope Francis. So it was an image that I'll certainly always remember. But again, it was disturbing to see the level of decline on the part of Pope Emeritus Benedict, even in just the weeks that had passed since his resignation.
Don't doubt that will be a topic for another conversation for us to have when and the time makes itself apparent. But in the meantime, we have just an unbelievable experience. We've talked about this before, but it bears repeating, given the fact that you have a new book out by Our Sunday Visitor. It has to be one of the first, if not the first, isn't it, Matthew, on the life of Pope Francis?
Yeah, it is the first published book out on the Holy Father. It was officially released on April 2nd. And that's a testament to the remarkable skills of the editors and production staff at Our Sunday Visitor to be able to get a book out in such record time. Not just a book, though. It's one I think certainly has been very well received so far. I know that you enjoyed the book, so I'm gratified about that and very grateful. But to be able to put out a book this quickly, it has as its purpose only one thing, and that is to help inform Catholics, to provide them with an introduction to our new Holy Father at a time when the media is still fixated on him, but very much trying to create a wedge between Pope Francis and Pope Benedict, They are, at times, I fear, deliberately misreporting a lot of the things that he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, they're trying to use him as a means of advancing an agenda that is wholly foreign to certainly the teachings of the Church and certainly entirely separated from what Pope Francis himself is teaching and saying.
It is a book that really articulates the moment, and that is such a gift that you have. I mean, when you do it reflecting on the events of history, it's a joy to read when you chronicle those times. But Matthew, here you are, you're chronicling a significant church event. I mean, this is, people will look back on this moment in history and study it.
They will. And it was, I say this seriously and with absolutely no false humility or anything else, it was an immense privilege to be able to work on this book. It was, like I said, too, a very deep spiritual experience, because that's really what was happening. You had the first papal resignation in 600 years, the first kind of an event like this in the life of the modern church, the life of the modern papacy. You had events that not even the Vatican had seen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's saying something. I mean, when you consider the chronicle of events that have taken place in the Vatican over the centuries, this was something unprecedented. And what I mean by that is that when the last popes resigned, they weren't even in Rome at the time. So Pope Benedict leaving the Vatican City State for Castel Gandolfo, and then we had the most unusual sede vacante, I think, in many, many centuries. And then the Holy Spirit had that remarkable surprise in the College of Cardinals, listening, I think, to the impulses given them by the Holy Spirit, elected someone completely unexpected. So all of these events, from February 11th all the way even to today, where we're still trying to come to know Pope Francis, these are extraordinary. And how rare is it that we have a chance to live through an event where we can say to each other, we are watching history unfold, but we're also watching a certain providential quality to events, and we're self-conscious of that. But at the same time, we're celebrating, but we're also, I think, grateful to our Heavenly Father for all of these events. However they turn out, these have been transformational moments for Catholics all over the world. And that's something that we needed to have a record of, and that was one of the things that I set out to do.
More than a biography of Cardinal Bergoglio, it is a beautiful telling of the birth, can I say it, of Pope Francis. Because it's not just about him, but the moment that created a papacy. It is a significant occurrence because it has really, I think, delighted, surprised. For some, it has challenged.
Yeah, I'm hearing reports from all over the place and reading them. NBC News had an article that was just published today that's now making the internet rounds. You've probably seen it.
Mm-hmm.
What they're calling the Francis effect. And that is that Francis is, just by being himself, by his authenticity, he is bringing back to the Church inactive Catholics. Catholics have been away for many years. Why? Because, again, his authenticity, his gestures, what he's been doing. And I think a lot of inactive Catholics who stopped paying attention to what was going on in the Church have had their imaginations captured by him. And that, too, goes all the way back to the resignation of Pope Benedict XVI, where it sometimes takes a cataclysmic event like that to shake things up. And then, of course, we have the election of Pope Francis, who is so extraordinarily different. And yet, in his personality and in how he does things, yes, he's strikingly different and captures the imagination of people. But then what he's teaching is so perfectly in continuity with what his predecessors did. So it's giving a chance for Catholics who've been away for a while to see, yes, this is somebody who's different, but here's what you've also been missing for all this time. Mm-hmm. And it starts a conversation. And that, too, I think, is one of the effects of sort of the cataclysm of the earthquake, as you put it, of Pope Benedict's resignation, that it shook things up to the point that we can now have someone like Francis come in, who not only serves with humility, who teaches love, who shows these gestures, but who also makes people very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because look at what he does. He stops the Pope Mobile on the very day of his inauguration, the day that is the pinnacle of his life, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
when he's installed as Pope. He stops the Pope Mobile in the middle of St. Peter's Square, climbs out, he kisses, blesses, and embraces a severely handicapped man.
Mm.
That is not something that the average person would think to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it points toward, again, to use that word, he makes people uncomfortable in exactly the same way, though, that Christ made people uncomfortable with his calls for love, with all of his teachings. And I say uncomfortable not in that sort of awkward way, but in a way of hearing and knowing in your heart that this is what you're supposed to be doing, that this is what Christ is calling you to do. And you're made uncomfortable because you have this unwillingness to do what you know is right. And that's something I think that Francis is very powerfully accomplishing and has been really from the night of his election.
How about those daily homilies?
Love them.
Mm-hmm.
They are, in a way, being overlooked by a lot of people. Every day, Pope Francis gets up, and we know he gets up very early, mm-hmm. about 4:30, 5 in the morning. And then he goes down and he says Mass in the chapel of the Domus Santa Marta, where he's currently residing. And Vatican Radio has been doing a magnificent job of carrying some of the details of what he's saying every day. This is a profound homiletic style, remarkable catechesis. And I think as much as his homilies, his general audiences and other things are going to leave a mark, I think these daily homilies at the Domus are going to find their way into the whole of his corpus, his body of papal teachings, because they tend to be very off the cuff, and they demonstrate what he's saying from the heart in exactly the same way that he has on a number of occasions since his election. And they're simple, but they're not simplistic. And they mm-hmm. keep always getting to the heart of things, where he talks, for example, about the condemning gossip. What is the one thing that people love to do? And that's gossip.
Mm-hmm.
But he explains in a very beautiful spiritual fashion why you don't gossip, because it's unchristian.
Mm-hmm.
Seemingly a very simple, uncomplicated type of homily that you'd expect from a pastor. But to hear it from the Pope, it reinforces the fact that he has a way of reaching into the heart of the average person. And it is the average person, as you and I have talked, who is the one being damaged, who is the one being lured by the whole of the current miasma, so to speak, of cultural relativism, materialism, secularism, and just the abandonment of our faith in the face of all of those things. So he's touching people in a very deep way, but he's doing it for the average person. And I think that's an absolutely lovely thing.
It is quite a transformation. I don't want to say evolving, because it makes it sound as though it went from something that was lesser to something that is greater. But what I mean is a transforming of the papacy as far as its ability to touch the hearts of the faithful in communicating the very heart, as you say, of the gospel message, to be that very pastoral sense. It's not that Pius X couldn't or would not have done it, or that even Pius XI or Pius XII and Benedict XV and all those wonderful popes we've had in between. But because of the technology and a greater understanding of how it can be used, it seems as though the papacy has had this transformation to what the spirit of the day needs right now.
Yeah, I think you've hit on something very important regarding this pontificate. Archbishop Claudio Chailli, who's the head of the Pontifical Council for Social Communications, made a very acute observation about this pope. He said that he communicates in a host of different ways. I've described it as it's a polyvalent approach to communications. In other words, it's multifaceted in the sense that he is using imagery and gestures as a powerful tool for communications, which, of course, is exactly what we're called to do in the full effective means of social communications that the Second Vatican Council called for, and we've had multiple documents ever since. What Pope Francis is doing is communicating with gestures without words and speaking volumes doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, his audiences are they make for very interesting reading, as we've been talking about, and I think people can study them intently. But he's also communicating by the simple act of love, of humility, of service that speaks louder than any words could. And he's establishing this multifaceted communications approach that I think is going to be very significant for the church in the coming years, because it utilizes instant communications, it utilizes social media in a new and, I think, very exciting way. And consider, for example, I was talking about the handicapped man that he stopped to bless and to embrace and assure of God's love.
Mm-hmm.
That image is now all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
From a screen capture. I mean, there weren't really very many photographs coming out of it. And what has he done since? There's this incredible image of him greeting and hugging a Down syndrome boy. And the love that is projected in that one image says more than he could in two or three general audiences sort of preaching about it. And that's an image that's now everywhere. I've seen it tweeted. I've seen it on Facebook. You're one of the great mavens of social media, Chris. So I know you've seen these images, and you've seen the power that they have. And that's what I mean by polyvalent communication. And he is a master of it. Why? Because he does it so naturally. It just flows from him. You couldn't have a group of image consultants come in and do a better job if you paid them an enormous amount of money. He doesn't need them. He's simply doing what he does because of who he is.
It's a real testament to the power of the Holy Spirit, because ultimately to pull all these events together, all these mechanisms together, all this to be able to evangelize has to be the work of something much bigger than even the calculations of one man.
Very much so, yeah. And you hit again on something that I think is worth discussing, and that is the place of continuity here.
Mm-hmm.
It has been summed up succinctly by a host of different people, especially on social media sites like Facebook, where you have these pictures of, you know, Pope John Paul II, I'm paraphrasing, but he said something along the lines of Pope John Paul II told us what we need to know. Pope Benedict said how we're supposed to know it, and then Pope Francis is telling us now how to live it. So you have multiple variations on that whole theme.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean by the beauty of continuity here, that there's nothing that Pope Francis is doing that does not have its foundation in the gospel, in the teachings of the church, but especially in the papal magisterium, the papal teachings of the modern era. We can start with Leo XIII with Catholic social doctrine. When you listen to what he says, he's very consonant with that. He has already used openly the phrase, the dictatorship of relativism, which of course is one of the great catchphrases of the pontificate of Pope Benedict XVI. He stressed the dignity of the human person. That was one of the great foundational principles of the pontificate of John Paul II. He's taking all of that, that whole body of teachings, and now he's carrying it forward in exactly the way that we knew he would. He's taking it out into the world. One of the things that when you read his homilies, he's always talking about movement. Mm. Not some sort of a progressive idea of moving forward, but rather moving out into the world to cast into the deep. And in that sense, there is this apostolic zeal, and how perfectly timed it is that we have now this theological foundation, this intellectual foundation, this spiritual foundation for the new evangelization. And who should follow Pope Benedict, who gave us that, but the man who is now positioned to carry it forward at exactly the right time and in exactly the right way that we need it to be carried forward into the world, which is exactly what the new evangelization is calling for, a recapturing of that apostolic zeal.
Wow. Matthew, as an official biographer of the Holy Father, Pope Francis, what surprised you in exploring his life that would also just surprise and delight us?
We knew one of the first things that anyone heard about the new Pope Francis was, you know, he rode the bus, he washed and kissed the feet of AIDS victims, and all of that is magnificent. What was not initially clear to a lot of people, and this is something that I had heard a little bit about but had not had the opportunity to explore in the kind of great detail that I was once I had a chance to begin grappling with his homilies and his letters, is how committed he was and is to the culture of life and to the new evangelization. When you read his homilies, there is this deep prophetic quality to them, calling on Argentina to be faithfully Catholic, but to defend the dignity of the human person. And the washing of the feet of AIDS victims, the going to the slums, all of these things are beautiful. They're acts of humility and acts of service, but we do him a great disservice, and we do not understand him properly if we try to isolate those events outside or from his commitment to the dignity of the human person from conception to natural death. Everything that he does flows from his love for Christ and that recognition of the dignity of the human person. And that's something that I think people have to understand about him. The media likes to focus on his acts of humility in a way because I think it gives them the means to misrepresent why he's doing it, as sort of some sort of a liberal who's going to change church teaching. Mm-hmm. But also, it gives them a way to dismiss him as just a nice man who likes to go into poor neighborhoods to wash the feet of the impoverished. What they don't understand is that he's going to do as Pope what he did in Argentina, and that is to be a prophetic voice for the unborn, for the dignity of the human person, for the dignity of work, for the authenticity of marriage. And once that happens, I think it's going to come as a very big surprise to people in the secular media. And that is when all of us as Catholics, who have done our job of understanding him and getting to know him, will then need to defend him. And that, too, is one of the primary reasons that I thought this book, and any other of the faithful Catholics who are writing books about him right now, that's what we need to do. We need to help prepare Catholics everywhere for the disappointment and then the anger of a lot of people in the media and even in some corners of the church when Pope Francis begins to speak as we know he will.
Well, I love Pope Francis, and I love your book entitled Pope Francis, Dr. Matthew Bunsen. I really think it is the definitive, not only for this period, but it is a marvelous introduction to the man who is guiding the church. Is it too simplistic to say, Matthew, that when you are called to make the journey from the head to the heart, this is what it looks like? He really exemplifies of what that looks like.
Yeah, he does. And that again, we were just talking about the new evangelization and that apostolic zeal. Mm-hmm. The other phrase that he likes to use is that of apostolic courage.
Mm.
We need to have the courage of the first apostolic community to go out into a hostile, increasingly pagan world, exactly as they did, knowing that we will face persecution and humiliation and probably worse down the road.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as we have that apostolic zeal, that apostolic courage, and as long as what we do is rooted in authentic teachings of the church and authentic love, we will prevail. And that is the great lesson of this pope, that we cannot remain behind some wall, that the church has to go out, it has to cast into the deep. And that's what he's calling us to do, and that's what the new evangelization is calling us to do.
Well, praise God for that apostolic courage. In doing that, it did in the early churches, if you have so beautifully written over the years, it has led us to martyrdom. But then it never, even the threat of that, never robbed them of the joy, which was so engaging in what ignited the faith over the centuries. We seem to be experiencing that same type of joy now. Just when you look at him, that's what you see, joy.
Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's, for those who are still trying to figure him out, still trying to sort where we might be headed with him, just look at that. Look at his joy. Look at his happiness. And then look at the joy and the happiness and the zeal and the apostolic courage that he's generating in others. This is trickling down, and any Catholic who's active right now in almost any diocese can see the impact of this pope already wherever they are. That is a sign, it seems to me, of the significance of this pope, but also the rightness of what he's doing for us.
We're going to have more and more to talk about in the coming days, weeks, months. But for right now, Dr. Bunsen, any final thoughts?
Yeah, let's just continue to pray for this pope. Let's avail ourselves of the chance to read his homilies. I always say go to the news.va, which mm-hmm. is a beautiful site. It's an aggregate site for all of the Vatican news. Make it a point every day to sort of have breakfast with Francis. Read what Vatican Radio is reporting about his daily homilies. Make sure that you sign up for @Pontifex because he's pretty aggressive in tweeting.
Mm-hmm.
Avail yourselves of all of the Facebook and social media to keep track of him. And spend a part of your day with him. It's very worthwhile.
It's the best time you're going to spend spiritually, I think. Matthew, I cannot wait until we talk again.
Looking forward to it. Take care, and God bless all of your many endeavors, Chris.
With Dr. Matthew Bunsen, we've gone inside the pages of Pope Francis. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to osv.com, the website for its publisher, Our Sunday Visitor. Or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and or to download this discussion along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.